thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
The people who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Apparently, we're not the only one that rolls on all of our material and records all of our material. Apparently, the Boston Bruins do as well, because they did this to me today. This happened. Let me just set it up a little bit more. They obviously clinched the playoffs last night, and they kicked off their marketing campaign today. Their postseason marketing campaign, because they clinched last night. So they've been sitting on this is a commercial. This isn't a bit that Hardy did or that 98.5 The Sports Hub did. This is the Bruins that produced this, that again is a centerpiece, I think, of their official postseason marketing campaign. This is a commercial that you will see not just online, not just on the scoreboard at the Garden, but I believe on TV, on Nesson, on wherever.
Social media, it's all over the place.
Wherever commercials are shown, you'll see this. And this is them. This isn't us. They decided to center their marketing campaign around an unfortunate take that I had early on in the Bruins season. So this is their commercial. If you're listening on the radio, you'll hear it. If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, you will see it. They did a brilliant job. If you're just listening, I invite you and I recommend that you go just catch up and see this wherever you can see this, because they did a really good job with this. This is well done if you're everybody but me. Go ahead. This is why I think the big issue with the team is there's too many young guys. There's too many out there who are running around who don't know what they're doing. I think the Bruins season is over. I think they're done. Too young. Every time we play it, you two laugh.
No, because it's so well done, and the way it's juxtaposed with, you know, your take gone wrong, and then they have your Charlie McAvoy lighting the lamp, McAvoy to Pasternak lighting the lamp, and then there's the slow still of McAvoy looking right in the camera like, you idiot.
I think they're done.
No, we're not done, you dummy who buried us.
I think the Bruins season is over.
2 weeks into the season. After a bad game in Vegas.
There's too many out there who are running around who don't know what they're doing.
So they do a number, man. They edit it perfectly. I'll say there's too many young kids and there's McAvoy dangling for an incredible goal. There's too many young kids around there who don't know what they're doing. And then there's four young kids sort of staring into the camera as they're scoring a goal or lighting somebody up or passing it with a dipsy do sort of move down low. And then he stares into the camera. This season's over. And then they're scoring a goal. Like they do a tremendous number.
Too young.
The most vicious bear attack since the end of Grizzly Man.
I think they're done.
You don't know that movie, but the bears kill him at the end.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I think the Bruins season is over.
So again, this is a glorified case. This is one of the most prominent cases you will ever hear of. Basically, it's a glorified, how do you like us now? And so we've gotten that certainly from callers. It's routine on Twitter. That's where that whole voice comes from. That's what it sounds like on Twitter. When you say, you know, I think Tom Brady hasn't been playing well. And then he, you know, goes 7-for-7 on his first drive, McCone. And someone tweets out, "Bah! Do you like him now, Felger?
No, Murray, you're a scout now. Belichick's at the pro day because he's a coach. He wants to see these guys.
So good luck, fella."
Yeah.
There you go.
We get that from callers all the time. We get it. That's what happens on Twitter. That is Twitter, right? Occasionally, you'll hear a player or a coach after a game say, you know, "Suck it, Felger. I guess we weren't that bad after all." Sean Thornton on the ice in Vancouver. Or a coach will say, "I guess we don't suck after all, guys."
Sure line, especially today. I mean, really banging and puck control. That did turn its series around a little bit.
Yeah, suck it, Felger. I guess we're not that bad after all, huh?
So, like, that happens. The occasional straight comment from a coach or a player. Yeah, oh, so, hey, I guess I can hit that inside fastball, huh?
Shane Victorino, a few years back at spring training. Maz.
But you hear it all the time. In little, just sort of little pot shot returns, which, you know, have you ever seen a team take a full radio take, produce it, edit it, cut it, put it to video, and center their campaign around it?
No, I can't say I have. No,
I think heretofore, that is an unprecedented move by the Boston Bruins.
I don't even think this has happened on like a national scale to the Skip Baylesses of the world, to my knowledge.
So, like I've said, if you like the Bruins and hate me, this is the spot for you, man. I go. In fact, you want to run it one more time, Stu, just because these guys laugh every time? We run it on TV. Every time. I like to see McCone and Murray laugh at the same thing. I don't get to see it very often, but they laugh every time they see this thing. You can cue it back up on NBC Sports Boston. Go ahead. Do it again. This is why I think the big issue with the team is there's too many young guys. There's too many out there who are running around who don't know what they're doing. I think the Bruins season is over. I think they're done. Too young.
It's the mean mugs from the playoffs that really make
absolutely,
it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like adorable, chubby-faced Charlie McAvoy looking right in the camera like, you dummy.
I think they're done. And then they end it with the board, just the words, listen to no one. Which, again, I find a little oxymoronical. When they're telling you to listen to no one, and then they're sending their entire marketing campaign over something a talk radio show host said. You know, that's a little... not consistent. If you're saying listen to no one, and then you run a whole commercial of someone that you're not supposed to be listening to.
Because it does make it look like these young players have been motivated by this jackass's comments. But at the end, don't listen.
Too young. So that happened. So again, you go watch that online, and it's posted everywhere. You'll see it everywhere. They were nice enough to run it by me. I've known this was coming.
I think they're done.
I've been prepared for this for a while. I woke up this morning and saw the text. I'm like, oh, God, here it comes. It's coming today. Damn it.
Why? This is a great marketing campaign for us.
You. Yes, for us. It's not you. It's played all over there with the. You know, I got caught up in the industrial take complex, as Murray likes to say.
Was it October 16th, right?
October 16th. All right. So it was a little early. And I came on a little strong. Fine.
We've all fallen victim to it.
I actually don't think it was from that date.
Really?
I think it was from a different date.
Well, whatever.
Either way.
There'll be some early audio from October 16th in the final word today.
Oh, God.
Unused audio by the Bruins, I think.
Look, everyone's rolling on everything, so fine. Whatever. It was early enough in the season not to be ruling them out. So, and I did, obviously. So, I got caught up in that. I can't remember what I was going to say now.
I think it's good that all of us are in different documentaries across Murray and Maz and the Tom versus Tom.
Yeah, been a bad couple of months for us here.
Well, this is going to test that whole Brady process and the Brady theory in your book. So good luck, fella.
Good luck, fellas. Yeah. He goes on to win the MVP.
Question is, your football team, Maz, how do you feel about it?
Not great. Am I supposed to feel great? They are more vulnerable at this time of year than they have been in other years. It might be the fact that they're short on weapons in some ways, at least in the passing game. But again, bottom line for me, Brady has played like absolute dog crap for more than a month now.
Dog crap on the way to the MVP, 13-3 Super Bowl.
500 yards in the Super Bowl. Yep.
Yeah. This is good for the show.
No, it is. It's good for the show. Easy for you to say behind the glass.
I am picturing like Cam Neely at 3 in the morning in the edit booth going, where is that season over clip? That's the one we need to throw in there. Yeah.
I'd like the Bruins to send us the audio when they play that at the Garden the next time of the crowd booing us.
Oh, yeah. No,
I need that audio.
That's going to happen, too.
So we'll see. So that's that. So if you want to use that as a jump on
Brady board. Has played like absolute dog crap for more than a month now.
You want to get back to the Bruins? You can do it. You want to win?
So good luck, fella.
On our football stuff, you can do it. Whatever you want. I promise. Your calls at 617-779-0985 right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I like anti-coupable. And Mass. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is why I think the big issue with the team is there's too many young guys. There's too many out there who are running around who don't know what they're doing. I think the Bruins season is over. I think they're done. Too young. Bye, John.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Oh, guys, I got to tell you, I love the show. I'm actually originally from Bronx, New York, grew up in Buffalo, so I'm a Yankees and Bills fan, but for some reason, I love your show. It's hilarious. I love it. You guys are great.
Thanks, John. What do you got? What else you got?
No, actually, more to the point, I actually got a tiny bone to pick with Murray. Murray was good enough. He, I think you were off for a week or so. And he was talking about Kirk Cousins. And like I said, I'm a Yankees and Bills fan, but I have been, you know, I'm around this D.C. area.
Get to your point, John.
I'm talking about Kirk Cousins, and he was actually saying that Kirk Cousins is the Drew Bledsoe of this decade.
Yeah.
Drew Bledsoe was drafted first overall in the draft. Kirk Cousins, he was drafted in the third or fourth round.
So what, as pros?
They have to draft away
John,
to draft RG3.
As pros. Compare him as pros. Compare him as pros. Is Cousins really much better as a pro?
Kirk Cousins hits the open man as soon as he sees that guy open. It's like shooting ducks. He sees a man open, and he fires away and hits him. He doesn't have the arm Drew Bledsoe has. They're complete opposites in the NFL. It's the craziest comparison I ever heard in my life.
Murray, you want
to if anything, I think it's the most accurate one I might have ever made on these airwaves. They're both big-armed stat monsters with a penchant for a bad turnover. Kirk Cousins is the Drew Bledsoe of this generation. He's good, not great. Get over it.
I think I like Cousins more. It's a quicker release. I really disliked Bledsoe as a player. I don't think he has he was a great guy and a great pro and all this. I disliked his skill set as a quarterback.
He had a cannon. So does Cousins.
Yeah, he had a hose. Bledsoe did, but it took a long time to unfurl it. I mean,
the release is quicker with Cousins.
Cousins,
but both of them definitely have that penchant for the back-breaking turnover at the worst possible time.
No doubt. No doubt. And Bledsoe was immobile, bad immobile. Like Brady's immobile, you know, in a way.
But he can dance with them feet.
And he moved,
Drew was a statue.
But he moves in the pocket so well. Neither Brady nor Bledsoe can run. But Brady can move. Bledsoe was a bad kind of immobile. I feel like Cousins is a better kind of immobile. Cousins ain't a big runner either, but I feel he's a little more elusive, a little more athletic than Bledsoe. I think I would take Cousins over Bledsoe. I do.
Yeah, it's a coin flip to me. Either way, I just base it on arm strength. You know, they can make throws that'll wow you. They'll put up a ton of stats, and then they'll want to make you put your head in the oven after throwing a pick six at the worst possible time.
Dave in Somerset, you like that commercial?
Mike, I got to give you credit. I thought the weathermen were going to have the worst day today. Absolutely won this. But I want to pick your spirits up a little bit. This is a perfect example of art imitating life. For the first time in your life, you're going to be compared with Leonardo DiCaprio, and the bear has its way with you, like in The Revenant.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably another reference you don't get.
That I did see. No, no.
That one you get.
That one I saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in this analogy, I'm Lenny DiCaprio.
Yes, yes. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. The character in The Revenant, and that bear has its way. Yeah,
yes.
So, no, that's exactly what the Bruins, the bear,
upset
just
of the
did.
Day.
Yep, nope. No, this one was bad. This one was bad, and I could feel it coming. They were good enough, kind enough. I put that in air quotes, because, again, they pretty much...
I think they're done.
I shoved it right at my tailpipe today, but they were kind enough to run it by me.
I think the Bruins season is over.
Weeks ago. So, could I have shot it down? I think I could have. They weren't really asking for permission.
It was already produced, right?
Oh, it was done.
Yeah.
It was in the can. So, could I have said no or not? I don't even know.
This is why I think the big issue with the team is there's too many young guys.
But they ran it by me, and when they ran it by me and they showed it to me, they said, we tried to reproduce it kind of with a script and a voiceover guy and do a different sort of production.
They didn't want to use you.
He said, and they said, no, we couldn't recreate the stupidity. We couldn't.
You needed the actual take.
There's too many out there who are running around who don't know what they're doing.
You just can't capture something that wrong with an actor or a script. It's got to be authentic, and there it was. So
too young.
Yeah, it wouldn't have worked with a professional voiceover guy.
Here's Brandon in Maine with the Bruins thought. Hi, Brandon.
Yeah, hi. why isn't anyone talking about Donato looking a little gassed in these games?
Oh, I did.
Well, okay, I missed that, but have him miss all the practices from here to the playoffs. I think it's a real thing that you're asking a 22-year-old to go into the playoffs playing heavy minutes on the second line and Heinen's already hit a wall. These young guys, even the old guys.
No, that's not what I'm looking at. I don't think he looked gassed the first night. The first night, he was all over the place. I thought he looked a little gassed last night, Brandon. And what I wondered there is it because he had to take a late flight because he was in class on Tuesday instead of with the team like he should have been. That's what I wonder on that, if the travel caught up to him.
I mean, they had they pointed out in the broadcast even points of, I don't know what game it was, where he was over-skating. I don't know, just...
Yes, totally. I think he was either gassed or something. Yes, they did a number on him last night on NBC where he didn't look that good. And again, I wonder, did he put himself in the best position last night?
last night by not traveling with the team the night before, getting a full night's rest in, you know, St. Louis, practicing with the team, etc. Instead, he stayed behind and went to class at Harvard on Tuesday.
It's fair to question that. I mean,
and
maybe
so I don't think he didn't prepare for that game like the other guys did and did a catch up to him. Which again, I'll give that to you once. I'll give you one day on that. Because when you get traded or signed, you get a day to pack your stuff and put your kids in school and whatever you have to do. So that happens. But if that's going to be a recurring thing, no, man, that's not. No, that won't be good.
No, it can't be. He can't be. You have to decide. The decision should actually be made. You've signed to be a professional with this team. You're with us until the offseason. Then you can go deal with everything at Harvard.
John and Peabody on Belichick. Hi, John.
Hi, I'm just calling to let you guys know. I think that Belichick is actually going to move to GM. I don't think that he's going to end up staying as the coach of the team. I think he's going to let McDaniels move into the place. I think that he's sick of the media. I think he's sick of all the bull caca or whatever. I think he just wants to get it behind him. I think that and that'll keep his family to be able to move into the situation where they can still work for the Patriots, still maintain a job for the company, and then he doesn't have to go somewhere where he's going to be treated like a cheater, and he can stay somewhere he's going to be held up as a hero.
John,
I'm going to shut up and listen.
No, yeah, that all makes perfect sense until you get to the point. Do you think that's what Bill Belichick was put on this earth to do?
No.
Put on a suit and go sit behind a desk?
No. No.
I mean,
he wants to be on the sideline. He's a sideline guy.
The guy was born with a whistle around his neck. He's a coach. He's a coach. And I've mentioned this many times. Lombardi tried it and couldn't stand it. Lombardi went upstairs for 1 year, watched Phil Bankston try and coach his team and couldn't deal to the point where even though he was in poor health, he went back and coached. He just couldn't handle it. And I think Bill, if I had to guess, Bill's one of those guys. He's one of those guys. And if he wasn't, then it would make perfect sense. It really would. He can still run the football team. His
imprint's on everything.
Josh can't handle the GM thing, so Bill's there to handle it. Bill's there to set up his kids who are still in the organization. Like, all of it. Like, it would all make sense if Bill could handle the job. I don't know if he could, you know, just emotionally handle the job.
You can look at Tom Coughlin, though, and he's a legendary hard ass that I always thought was a whistle guy, and it seems to have worked out for him in Jacksonville.
Did not work for Parcells.
No.
Right? Didn't Bill Walsh try, too? It didn't work for him. Didn't he come back? He went to Stanford, and then he go back to San Fran as some sort of front office role? I thought he might have.
I forget.
And it didn't work there? Like, I don't know. Look, maybe I'm not saying Bill couldn't do it. I'm just saying I don't think he'd want to do it. Mike and Woburn, if you're calling to bust my nuts today on the commercial, I wouldn't, because we could do a commercial with you, pal. That wouldn't look too good either.
Oh, of course you could. Absolutely. You think anybody could have predicted this season the way this has turned out?
Thank you.
I told you this was at the beginning of the season. I'm not afraid to admit it. I thought this was going to be a developmental season, that next year was going to be the real contending year, that they were going to give all the kids ice time and see what happened. The way that they've played this year, I'm ecstatic. This has been a great season. But it does confirm my opinion that the Bruins have the biggest rabbit ears of any team in this town. I mean, this is a team that basically did a reality show so they could flamethrower their former number one pick on the way out of town. So I am not surprised that they've given you the full Richard Nixon on you know, from 2 to 6 for the past 6 months, waiting to use this against you.
I'll tell you, it is. I mean, think of another example of a team doing something like that.
There isn't one.
There isn't one. And any team could do it. Any team in any town could do it because of the way sports media is marketed nowadays.
Well, no, as Murray said, the industrial take complex. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, good Lord, you know, like, this, can I ask a favor, if the Bruins are still listening, can we get a weekly interview back?
That's right. Can we get a little something for the effort? I would agree with that. Thank you.
This is like Cam's payback years later.
But I'll tell you, right, this is, as someone said to me earlier, this is Cam's way of reaching across the table and punching me in the face. Like, this is how he did it. He didn't literally, all those days he wanted to reach across the table and crack me across the face with the back of his hand, this is how he ended up doing it. Maybe so.
I think they're done.
It's a really good spot. On top of it all, that wasn't slapped together. Like, they did a really good job with it. It's good. And if you're a Bruins fan, it gives you a little tingle at the end, even the way that, you know, listen to no one. And then what's their, what's the slogan at the very end? Like, they have some sort of, at the very end, there's even something, they throw up another board after the listen to no one. But there's another little slogan. I don't know. Anyway, just the way the whole thing, it's good. It'll give you a little chill.
It's a, and if you hate me, it's like a double. It's like a Christmas in July. It's like a double whammy.
It's anti-Felger porn.
No, it's just tremendous. Pants off, everybody.
It's hashtag in our blood.
In our blood. All right, so maybe that's a little corny. Never mind. Strike that. But that the rest still stands.
Now they got something else to use against you.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh. Love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Anything on Kyrie Irving today? He saw the specialist in New York, right?
Yeah, nothing's coming out today. They say the next day or two is when they're going to know more.
Have the screws come out today?
Well, that's such a lie. What do you mean they're going to know more? Well, how long does it take to look at the picture? He goes there, they examine the knee, they take a picture, and then they look at it.
Or Kyrie wants to continue to doctor shop until he can find one that will tell him, yeah, you can play, don't worry about it, you'll just have to deal with some pain.
Is that what you think's going on?
I think a little bit. You know, Jimmy, I think you brought this up, but you think, or maybe you've heard from your underground sources, the team might want to shut him down, but it's Kyrie that wants to play. I mean, I think that's even evident. You watch him on the bench the other night. He's obviously into it.
No, his body language was that of someone who's still into it.
So there's a tweet from Adam Himmelsbach. Quote, Steven says Kyrie has, quote, talked to a couple more people, but nothing concrete. A
couple more
people. So does that mean we're at three doctors or four doctors? Like, what does that mean? Because we think he was going for a second today. Is he going to more people? Is he going to more doctors?
So this is where the team might have to save him from himself and look, yep, you know, look longer term here. And I know that sucks and it'll cost us a deep playoff run.
Yes.
But if he can do further damage to that knee, and that's what the team doctors are saying, they got to shut him down.
And I do wonder if they take into consideration what happened with Isaiah Thomas last year. Understandably so, different injuries, but Isaiah wanted to play through it. Kyrie, I think, wants to play through it. So maybe that's in consideration.
Yeah, so, they're right to use that as an example. Obviously a different injury, but you know, look at the setback that he ended up having, Isaiah.
Because Isaiah didn't come back until January and really hasn't been the same player since about now.
Well, it certainly doesn't feel good. I felt good looking at him on the bench. Again, he didn't look like a guy to me that's about to shut it down. So like that made me feel good, but everything beyond that feels really bad. I mean, if you've been resting for, it's now 12 days, why do you need to see specialists? If you haven't played in 12 days, you've been resting for 12 days, it automatically is going to feel better, isn't it? Unless it's not right.
You just keep trying to find that doctor that gives you the green light.
I wonder if it's short term, he can play through it, but longer term, it's going to take a little bit longer to heal up to 100%.
Well, so, Bulpet or Washburn, someone.
It was Steve Bulpet.
Bulpet wrote that he went for the appointment today. Washburn wrote the day before that I'm sorry, it was Bulpet. I'll shut up now. Bulpet said that if it impacts when he starts next year, that's going to be a factor. In other words, if they put off the surgery till after the playoff run, and that means he'll be set back to start next year, that they won't want to do that. And I actually disagree with that.
Me too. I don't give a rat's ass about October or November of next year.
Who cares? So if, look, you're not winning the championship either way, but if Kyrie can play, it's not going to do any further damage. It's just painful. If he does no further damage and he plays and you make the NBA finals, even if you get Polax there at the end, which you will, but even is it worth him starting next November or December if you can make the NBA finals this year?
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course it is.
Again, providing the only thing that really matters is does
you're
it do
not doing
long-term
further
damage. If it does long-term damage, of course, like that's a no-brainer. But if it's no risk of long-term damage, I'll take the run to the finals. Who cares about next October?
Especially if that means getting over Cleveland. You know how much he would enjoy that?
Oh.
And all of us collectively around here would.
And maybe that's why he doesn't want to shut it down, because he feels he has Cleveland.
I think that's part of it. I mean, look how much he's fired up on the bench. You know that he thinks that Cleveland is vulnerable. He wants to play.
Cleveland show anything last night? You notice that?
Well, what they showed is
Cleveland came back from a big deficit and beat Toronto.
What they showed is, as good as Toronto is, and as good as Toronto is at home, if that eventual playoff matchup happens again, don't be shocked when Cleveland and LeBron waxes Toronto, because he owns that ass. He really does. That team.
I didn't watch any of it. Was this the typical Toronto soft choking?
I only saw the highlights, but
can't handle the big moments.
They just
sort of thing?
Kevin Love hit an important three-pointer. Kevin Love.
The Cavs are their daddy. They can't. They have nothing. They're not going to get over that hump. And that's where I think a lot of people, myself included, get that, you know, that's where Toronto has that. They lack that intestinal fortitude in the playoffs because they know LeBron's shadow looms large.
Okay, well, there's a Celtics minute for you to lead into Kyle in New Hampshire, who's been waiting with the Celtics take. Go ahead, Kyle.
Hey, guys. Yesterday, you just touched on Jaylen Brown a little bit, kind of talking about whether or not he made that big jump. And a lot of people called in about, you know, his offensive stats and stuff like that. And
per 36 is what Kyle, I got a lot of per 36 numbers.
Yeah, yeah, all that junk, right? So, I mean, yeah, he's a little bit better on the offensive end, but I don't really think that's where we should be looking. I think his defense is really where he stepped up this year. Last year in, you know, 17 minutes a game, he played with the bench unit a lot, and he held opponents to 40.4% shooting, which was 15th in the NBA. But this year, he's been playing 31 minutes a game, mostly with the starters, and he's held opponents to 37.9% field goal. That number really means nothing, but it leads the NBA in that category. So I think you're looking at Jaylen as emerging as the next really good on-ball defender for the Celtics, who might be what they just need with all the other scores that they have on the roster.
Okay. I had said I thought he would have given me more in the second year, that he didn't make a big second year splash. Maybe I'm being too hard on him. Maybe he's I set the bar too high.
You know, the way he plays defensively, it's one of his better attributes. But offensively, I still think there's more to be desired. And recently, in bigger games, he's been a complete non-factor. The Houston game, the Cleveland game on Paul Pierce night, like nothing. And I expected more, especially when that game earlier in the season, and granted, maybe there was a little bit of a bump there because he lost his friend against Golden State. Like, he went off, and that was a night I was like, ooh, you see what the future could be with this kid.
Okay, Jim Murray has a problem with Bill Belichick working out potential high first-round picks on the pro days. Glenn and Natick, your thoughts?
Yeah, you guys are talking about Belichick going up to the front office. I think with Bill, it seems to me that his passion is teaching. That's what he essentially is. He loves that aspect of it. You can see it when he's in front of these guys. But I'm trying to understand Murray's take on this. He's like upset because he's talking to a number, you know, a top five draft pick, like he's not evaluating all these other guys that could be there in later rounds. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, actually, my bigger beef is, so okay, I'd like to know that he's, you know, working with these guys a little bit more, that the ones that he can actually get in the draft in the second or third round. So why even waste your time there? But more than anything else, where's Josh McDaniels? Where is Josh McDaniels with Bill Belichick on all of these pro days? Because I was told that, well, I think like most of us do, he's going to be the next head coach of this team. Maybe Bill has one more year left. Wouldn't you want the guy that you're going to give all your secrets to? I thought this was the year. This is why Josh came back, because Bill was finally going to open up his treasure chest of, ooh, Bill of secrets. Oh. So I would think with this very important draft coming up, with this window closing with Tom Brady and you, Bill, you'd want to have your right-hand man, the next coach of this team, with you with all these pro days to work out some of these guys. So you can guide Josh through, give him secrets on what to look for and who to draft. But no, where's Josh McDaniels here? The whole thing feels loose. This whole offseason, everything since Super Bowl 52. I don't like it. I don't like it.
You go ahead.
I was going to ask, why do we assume that it's Josh and not Nick who's the next coach of this team?
Casario?
Yeah, Nick Casario.
What are you hearing? Jimmy, what are you hearing? Because you don't come up with that out of nowhere.
Yeah, come on.
I know, I'm not smart enough to think of things on my own. I know that. I'm wondering, because Nick does coach on the field at times during camp and during the season. He's with Bill at Ohio State apparently now. Maybe the keys of the car go to Nick Casario, not Josh McDaniels.
It's just,
that's too far out of left field.
I'll tell you what, I love it though. I mean,
to not have something that Jimmy juice.
Oh, that piece.
There's Jimmy juice dripping all over that.
You clearly heard that somewhere. I'm not saying you're not smart enough to come up with that. I'm just saying you didn't.
I'm saying I'm not smart enough to come up with that.
I'm just saying you didn't. You heard that somewhere. And wherever you hear things is where you heard that.
It's a good take.
Yes, it is. I sort of like it. Because at least Casario, I don't think he's ever called a play in his life. Like, he's not a coordinator. He's never really been a game coach. He was assistant coach for a while. Like, I can't remember exactly what he coached, but he was an assistant coach.
I think he's still listed as an assistant coach.
Really? During games, he's up in the booth, but he's not on the sideline, right? I don't think. I mean, he's been all over the place, so yeah.
He's the wide receiver coach in 07.
Okay, so he was, right? He was a wide receiver coach under Josh in 07. So he was a position coach, but the man's never called a play, which, you know what? One of my big beefs with NFL head coaches is that they're all one side of the ball or the other, right?
Yeah.
They're defensive coordinators who turn their back to the field when the offense is on the field, or they're an offensive coordinator who are just buried in the play sheet while the D's out there. And
Sean Payton.
And therefore, these coaches have no command of the game or the clock or timeouts because they're just obsessed about calling the next play. So I think what the NFL desperately needs is head coaches that are CEOs, like Belichick, that do it all. Casario would come at it from that end. That's the only thing I would say about Casario that I would like. He's not pigeonholed as a coordinator. Where
he's well versed in all angles.
It's the whole McGilla. So I don't know. All right, Jimmy.
Wow.
Yeah,
Jay Stew.
Record that. And make it a commercial, for God's sakes. Big Jim Murray also wants Johnny Manziel on this team. John in the car, do you?
Oh, yeah. Sign him up.
Make your case, John. Help me out.
Well, you know, he was a good quarterback in college. Yes, he's gone through some immature times, but
some, yeah,
I think now is his time. I mean, I think he's got the skills. I mean, if he gets under some tutelage with Brady and Belichick, I mean, he might be the next guy up.
Okay.
So, and that's the thing. Look, he's 25 years old. He's, I think, a better backup option to me than Brian Hoyer. It feels like a guy that McDaniels would want to work with. I know he's undersized, but there's been undersized quarterbacks in the league that have actually accomplished
things. I was looking up. He's only 6 feet, six even.
Yeah.
So, which is probably a lie. You know, that's probably bumped up a little bit. But at best, he's 6 feet.
Same with Baker Mayfield. 6 feet.
Oh, I didn't know he was that schlort.
Yep.
Oh, recipe for disaster.
Breeze,
man.
Russell Wilson. Some of these undersized guys have achieved.
Is Breeze 6 or 6'2"?
No, Breeze is small.
Yeah,
Breeze is he 6 or 6'2"? There's a difference.
And Russell Wilson's definitely just 6 feet. Like, they're all around the same size.
No, Drew Breeze is listed at 6 feet. All right, I'll shut the hell up. I think he's too short anyway. But anyway, no, he's pretty good. I don't know. I just don't like short quarterbacks. That scares me. Draft a guy that high who's that schlort? You want to be a little schlorty like Drew Breeze or Russell Wilson, who Russell Wilson came from the third round and Breeze was like top of the second?
Top second, yeah.
Yeah, like, so that's where that guy comes from. You get drafted in the top five as a 6 foot tall quarterback? I hope that's not my team doing that. Josh and Lynn, you enjoyed that Bruins commercial?
I loved that Bruins commercial. It was such a great tirade you went on that the NHL Network actually put you on the head of their recap of the Bruins season.
Did they really?
No way.
I swear
this is true.
It's you and Haggerty's on there, and it shows the young Bruins kids just going berserk. It was right around when they went on that point streak.
Oh my God.
I thought it was funny to the conversation.
Okay, so, well, I'll tell you what then. The Bruins are really doing a number on me because there's no way the NHL Network could log that themselves. Like, what, they watch, all due respect, as big as our reach is, do you think they're watching Felger and Maz or, you know, the early edition with Tangway?
I do know some people at NHL Network who watch us.
So maybe they do.
This guy's tentacles in the back here.
It's unbelievable.
They go far and wide.
You watch your ass, McCone, because, you know, the Bruins are going to record it, and Jimmy Stewart's got the real information back there. So, yeah. All right, so just have a field day. Go ahead. Mike in New Hampshire, maybe on my Bledsoe take from before. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, I'm just curious what you guys think of the Drew Bledsoe take. As I remember you guys saying that he is not clutch. He came in the second quarter of the 0-1 AFC Championship game and, you know, won us the game. I just want to hear your thoughts on that and maybe a comparison to more like a John Kitna for Kirk Cousins.
No. He's better than John Kitna. And I've never, I don't really, in my, when I do my Bledsoe thing, I don't mention the clutch thing. I think he was...
No, he had some big moments.
If he was on
pin in the finger late 97.
Yeah, sure. Okay. And if he was on a better team in some better spots, I think he would have won. You know, I don't think his late game stuff was a problem. I think his mobility, you know, I don't need mobile quarterbacks, but he's bad mobile. He's bad immobile. Like, there's something bad about the way he moved. And he was so freaking slow with his reads and his progression. Tap the ball back there, and he had no movement, and I just hate the way he played. And he was accurate on a 20-yard out, but not accurate on a 5-yard out.
Oh, yeah, no, those passes to the flat. Ooh.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
God.
Like, I want the guy that hits the guy on the outside shoulder coming out of the backfield 10 times out of 10, Joe Montana, versus the guy that whiffs on that pass, you know, every third time, but hits a guy 25 yards down the field and out, which is a pass you need once or twice a game.
Yeah, you're going to trigger some late 90s Patriot PTSD with me if we keep talking about this.
A modern comparison to Bledsoe is more like Flacco. To me, like, that's, I think that's...
Flacco made that deal with the devil in 2012 and won a championship, though.
He did. Yeah. He did, and I, you know...
I like my Cousins one. I know you think that there's more mobility there, but to me, Kirk Cousins is the Bledsoe of this generation.
Yes.
In terms of arm strength.
So, I would say maybe not in terms of playing style, but in terms of the caliber of quarterback. Like, that's what I think.
Yeah.
You know, good...
Good, not great.
Good, not great. Can put up some big numbers, can light you up on a given Sunday, but ultimately not the guy.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Blood force drum!
We're gonna run him right down their throat!
Felger and
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5, The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire for the guaranteed lowest price on tires. Go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nope.
Nobody. Nobody, McComb.
All right, so Felger wanted to open up the show talking baseball today.
this did not go well.
Murray and me were not exactly hot and bothered, but do not throw Jimmy Stewart into that group. Do not.
You know where we're starting today? Damn it, McCone. And you can shut your stupid face because you know where we're starting?
Red Sox.
Red Sox. I don't care if you want
Very
to
excited.
Or not. I suggested today on the
email chain.
The email chain and everyone. No one wanted to do it, including Jimmy Stewart, who's a freaking seamhead in baseball nerd from the old
when
school.
When did I say that?
I just felt a great reluctance. You weren't part of the reluctance?
No, I wrote emails. Did you see all the emails on details of Red Sox stuff?
I did. I didn't know that
you hate when people do this to me.
They put
a quote in that I never said. What are we doing here?
I read your email. I didn't know you wanted to do it. I thought you were part of the anti-baseball crew.
No, Jimmy actually had a long breakdown about what he expects out of the team this
season.
Yeah,
I saw that.
How many emails did I write about the Red Sox, Mike? I'm into Red Sox
that.
Baseball. Baseball reporters next week. I'm all for it. Let's go. Let's do Red Sox.
Where do you say here that you want to do it? You just give me a whole this breakdown. You don't say that we should do it. So that's what I'm saying.
I'll be clear next time.
These two.
Yes, Mike, we should do baseball today.
Yeah, it was McCone and I that basically told you to go F yourself.
Yeah, no way. So you know what? The season starts a week from today, a-holes.
Yeah, I know.
It starts a week from today.
Baseball reporters on Monday with Maz Murray and I.
Baseball, your ass is in here for a fifth hour starting on Monday.
I lose my life starting on Monday.
We're starting with baseball, okay? Whether Stewart wants to do it or not.
I did.
It's like a hissing cobra.
Love is
just
great.
Like that.
That's how we open the show, folks. So that's how we come in. You think you're coming hot? That's coming in hot.
All right, this was a tough day for Felger because that was at 2 o'clock. And at 3 o'clock, after the Bruins clinched the playoff spot, they debuted their new playoff marketing campaign, which happens to be centered around a hot take from back on October 16th.
Yeah, why can't they roll on Jones? Like, I guarantee you there's better material there.
They hate Jones.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think that would go well.
All right, Jimmy, nice enough to go back to October 16th and pull up some unused audio that the Bruins also could have used.
Yeah, I think they should use this. Yeah.
It's a reentry Monday. I need 1 minute on the Bruins. They lost last night to the expansion Las Vegas Golden Knights, and their goaltender, Malcolm Subban.
Faced a lot of tough shots.
Let me repeat this. Malcolm Subban. Basically shut you out. You scored with 30 seconds left on the clock with your goalie pulled and a scrum in front of the net. I barely count it. You lost to Malcolm Subban and the expansion Golden Knights. I said last week I think the Bruins might be in trouble. I swear, I felt this way last night. I feel this way today. They're cooked. We're not going to have a hockey season. We're not going to have a hockey season. They're not going to make the playoffs. And they're not going to be a good team.
Don't you think it's a little early for that?
No.
I mean, no Bergeron.
I don't think it's that early. They're cooked, if that's the case. Cooked.
Like, that's why I couldn't get all that mad
cooked.
About that yesterday.
That team is cooked. That team is cooked. We're not going to have a hockey season.
But I'm worried that I'm worried that Bergeron is, like, damaged goods
into
now.
Me.
No, I'm telling you right now, we're not going to have a hockey season.
You're going too far.
No.
Yes, you are.
You didn't see it.
You're going too far.
I don't blame you for not watching. Who could watch that?
You're going too far.
Except for me.
It's too early.
If you watched it, you know how I feel. That was putrid. October 16th.
A little strong.
A little early.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.